Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Michelle, welcome back to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be talking with you one-on-one again.
Yes, well, I am excited to be diving in more to your teaching story and how you helped us in the education mastermind to come out with this awesome education workbox that we now have, why we think this is the solution for what is actually frustrating teachers. It's not the teaching. It's not the students.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's all the rest of it. So remind me, how did you first find Organize 365?
I always think of this. I wish I could give you a year or whatever. Maybe you can place it. It's been a long time. So I was on summer vacation and doing some projects, and I'm pretty good at organizing, but you always like to see what other people are doing and get tricks and tips. And this was before you had physical products. You definitely had your podcast, but most everything else wasn't really created yet. You had the original app.
Oh, yeah.
Not the more recent.
Three now.
Right. You have not the latest two.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's really been a long time. I've kind of been with you on the journey, kind of living vicariously and listening to all the things. I still remember when you got the first Slash Pockets with the color coordinating, and I've never seen you so excited.
Yes. Office supplies really do it for me. So the podcast started in 2015. That was probably 2016, maybe early 2017. By early 2017, I made the prototype of the Sunday basket.
Yeah, I was there for all of that. I wasn't following you on the first podcast, but yeah, it was pretty early on.
So the app story. So I had an app made by an Akron app manufacturer. It was a friend of my sister's, and she created an app. It was all orange and pink, because remember, orange used to be one of my corporate colors. It's not anymore.
Yep.
It was all orange and pink. And I think it was for the 40 weeks, one whole house is what we did.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think you could get into maybe the podcast from it. But yeah, it wasn't super elaborate, but it wasn't in the app store. And I don't think it was the app that I found you, but I think that was like, oh, she has an app. So let's download this. And obviously it was the podcast that kept me coming back.
Yeah, I don't think I had any products. I think that's when we launched. It might've been the 100-day home organization program that came with the app. But it was so cumbersome. We could never figure out how to actually sell the program through the app. And then to maintain the app and the website just took so much time.
Well, a lot of it was still the 40-week stuff.
Yeah, it was all mixed up.
Well, most of it was, with the kids, which obviously being single didn't interest me quite as much. And then when you started the 100 days, I was one of those people that did the trial where you gave us the week. It was not the laundry room at that point. I believe it was the kitchen at that point. Mm-hmm. I did it, and I thought it was wonderful and amazing. And the school year is ready to start. And I think I sent you something like, thanks, at some point I might be interested, but there's no way that I'm doing this now. And you personally sent a little nice email back. Thank you. I understand. Thank you for your feedback. And
what's so interesting about this? So then the second app was related to our custom site. Our custom site created the app. So they totally integrated. And that did work, except that every time we wanted to add anything to the app, it was like tens of thousands of dollars. It was ridiculous. And we were having trouble with the Google Play Store and the iTunes store, because you could purchase through the app, but the purchase wouldn't come into Organize 365. So we had to just hope we would see the money come in And then we would hope that someone would email us and say, hey, I bought this through the app. We'd be like, oh, great. Okay, we'll ship it to you. But it wouldn't connect. And then what I really wanted us to have was a private community, and to custom build that would have taken years and would not have functioned as well as the one we created. So and you can only have one app in the App Store with Organize 365 on it. So that's why we only have the community one.
I might have been one of the people that ordered through the app because I was expecting something for spring break. And
it was a joke.
And you know, you were called me up personally to yes. say, I'm sorry, you know, I know you put a rush order on, that doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Right, whatever. But that is a great example. You know, I am an educator. That's what I went to college for. I watched my dad and my mom be entrepreneurs. My mom, the women in my family have started businesses from scratch. The men in my family have joined successful companies and made them more successful. So I watched both, and my grandfather and my father and my mom and my grandmother and my great grandmother. And so all I saw my entire life was women creating things from scratch and then turning them into businesses and selling them. And so to have created a company now that people employs people is totally logical based on my childhood. But I come to the business world as an educator. Like, I love kids. If it can deal with, you know, I just wanted to be a mom. Once I was a mom, I just wanted to be a teacher and a babysitter. And now I just like teaching adults. So everything is from teaching. And when you are a teacher, it's totally different than being a business owner. Like a business owner or a startup, they have this idea and then they go get venture-backed money and then they try to scale the idea. I can never scale anything because I'm too busy recreating it all the time. Like, teachers never teach the same thing twice. They're always iterating, changing, and making it better. And that's why I was like, forget this. I'm just going to offer a lifetime. Whenever you buy in is when you buy in, because I know I'm always going to be improving and changing things, because that's what teachers do.
Well, and we also know that our students change over time, and what they need in September is not what they need in May. Or, you know, we know that at a point when you re-listen to something, there's something that you didn't hear the first time that means something different the second time. Like, I mean, that's part of why your company is what it is because you are putting people first in a way that other organizations don't always do.
Well, I also think that as you become a subject matter expert as a teacher, like when you teach your second year of teaching second grade, it's totally different than if you've been teaching second grade for 10 years. Like, you not only understand the curriculum that you need to get through for the state that you're in, but you understand second graders at a level that almost nobody understands the second grade person. So like you said, when I started, I was a 40-year-old mom who was overwhelmed with middle school children. So the 40 weeks, one whole program was great for anybody that had grade school kids. It was terrible if you had young kids. I had no idea what you did with kids once they were in high school or college. And I had no bandwidth for thinking about people who didn't have kids because I was drowning. And once I got really good at that, then I realized, hey, there are a whole lot of people who either never had kids, were not able to have kids, didn't want to have kids, or their kids are grown. And they're like, that's nice, but I'm no longer organizing Legos. So move it along. And I was like, okay, now I'm a teacher who can teach more generations. I'm working on being a teacher that can teach more genders and more ethnicities as my understanding of how we use a home grows. And I become more a subject matter expert of households in general for all people. I have gotten pretty good about North American women and how they use a home. And as I continue to expand my knowledge base, my teaching will continue to iterate and become more inclusive of everyone.
And you know this too, as you grow as a teacher, more students, different students, other people come to you as well, which enhances what you know and grows. You grow from your students as well. So that makes total sense that you start in one place and then as a teacher, you move to another. A retired colleague, actually someone I coached with for many years, we were having a great conversation at the track meet the other night. And we were just joking. He's like, you know, you can have the people that have had 20 years of experience and really don't. They just have one year that they've repeated 20 times.
Yes.
But that's really not very true of educators. You know, when someone has 20 years experience, they've taught differently for those 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of most of us. And that's what you're describing. Like, you know, what you think that you know as an educator is always changing as the world changes, as our students change, as we understand learning and the brain and all those things. And have we made mistakes? Of course we have. Are there things that we probably are a little appalled of? If you've been in education long enough, there's something that you don't want to admit that you used to do.
Right. And I think also it's kind of ironic, but the more you understand whatever the subject is that you're teaching, the looser you hold it. So what I mean is, the more I understand how to help American homeowners get organized, the less I care that you follow Lisa Woodruff's way of doing it. And the more I want to open my arms and say, okay, who else is reaching these same people with the same message? Yeah. And how can we collaborate together? Which is how we started the mastermind, which is so fun. So Michelle, tell us the experience that you brought through teaching. How long have you been teaching? What grades? Where? Like, tell us all of it.
So officially as a professional, not the, you know, at high school, I taught swim lessons kind of thing. I have been officially teaching for 28 years. I've been fortunate enough to actually stay with the same school. They took a chance on me right when I came out. I had some pretty unique things that they were looking for. One of them being that not only did I teach history, but I had the economics piece. And so I have literally been in the same building and been fortunate enough to just be a part of this amazing, you know, school district. Wow. And there are times when you kind of think, do I really want to live in North Central Wisconsin through another winter? And, you know, we just really have an amazingly supportive community. And, you know, they've always supported us with amazing referendums, and we have amazing work ethics, and you know, our students are people that, you know, will allow you to have mistakes and so forth. So I teach sophomores through seniors. That's our high school building. We don't have freshmen in our building. Obviously, I've taught a lot of different things over my time. When I started, I taught economics principles, which is a class that doesn't even exist. I taught mostly history. I have taught Wisconsin history, alternative U.S. history, 20th century, early 20th century, you name it. I created the AP macro program at our school. I shouldn't say program. I mean, AP program already exists, but I was the one that started the AP macro class at our school. And to this day, I'm the only one who has taught it. I don't know if that's always good or bad, but. And then a few years ago, more than five, less than 10, what I changed, kind of what I started teaching, really shifted quite a bit, because our school created a graduation requirement for personal finance. And what was really cool is they said, look, we're going to make sure whatever class students take, there are certain things that are covered, but we don't want just one class. We want students to have some choice. So they can go to different teachers, different departments. There's four or five different classes they can take that meets this graduation requirement. And at that point, then I created a course for economics and personal finance, and we added personal finance to our AP macro course. And from there, I really ended up teaching pretty much more economics, because people need this requirement. So I still teach history and I love it, but in recent years, the focus has shifted a little bit, which is kind of nice as a teacher too, because you don't want to be changing everything all the time. That's overwhelming. Right. But when you have a long career, it's nice that you get to do different things.
Well, 28 years. Wow. Congratulations. And you're very smiley about it.
Well, it probably helps that we took an AP test this morning and students are like relieved that it's over and hopefully they did well, but it's still just a test in one day. It, you know, it's not the end of the world. They said they learned a lot no matter what, I'll take that. But yeah, it does feel good to have an AP exam done.
So what is it you love about teaching, Michelle?
I love students. I think, you know, if you are a teacher that's been doing this for a while, you better love your students, right? That's part of the gig. I do think it is fun to do an activity and watch people. You can't always tell in education. You can't always slice open their head and see.
Right.
But every now and then you get this, you can see the facial expression change and there's this light bulb moment that goes on. And it's amazing when that happens. It's a relationship that, you know, it's you and them working together and it's hard to describe that. Mm-hmm. And it's fun too when you have the student that has one more question and 500 questions later, they're still there saying one more question.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, you know.
Oh, it's so great. So what has been your biggest challenge then? I mean, 28 years of teaching, I'm sure there have been different challenges, but if you could think back all the way to the beginning and then, you know, what today is still a challenge or what, you know, as COVID happened, what was a challenge?
I think most of us would say this year really has been the most challenging.
Yeah, right.
I think we thought it was going to be last year. And I would have to say, no, it really has been this year. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we keep hearing when we come out of the pandemic, there's going to be this new normal. And I think all of us are new human beings who have lived through a pandemic. But teaching kind of just snapped back. And I don't know that that's permanent, but at the moment it just snapped back and there is no new normal. It's the old normal. And we're just going to push everyone into the old normal. And honestly, we're not the same as we were. So I think that's kind of a disservice to all of us. And
What do you mean you snap back into the old normal?
I think the school systems are expected to act like they always have been. What I mean by that is we still have to do the standardized tests that we've always done, even though people went home during COVID and we gave ourselves some grace and understood they weren't going to learn the same online. And now this year there seems to be just catch up. Like, you know, I mean, whatever you miss doesn't matter. Now you'll just catch it up because you're all in the same room at the same time. And, you know, everything is going to go back. I know most of your kids did EBA last year, but now everything has to be exactly the same and the bells. And, you know, I mean, I think we thought, at least maybe I did, that this was an opportunity for schools to maybe look a little different. And I think we're expecting that society is going to be a little different. We keep calling it the new normal and we don't know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, right now, schools are supposed to look exactly the same. Like, I think there's not much grace being given right now. And I don't just mean to teachers. I mean, I see teachers doing this to administration. I think we're all trying to plow through and it's like, you know, these kids have experienced something that none of us have ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of the tricks that worked with my previous 16-year-olds don't work with this group of 16-year-olds because their life experience is different.
I've heard from numerous people, but I don't know what the source of this statistic is, that there was a study done and they said that it is estimated that 25% of all people in the teaching profession will be leaving in the next 2 years, which is over 1 million teachers. And again, I don't know where the source of that is, but I've heard it from numerous sources. And I can see it happening because, you know, you have in the business world, the employees pushing back and saying, look, I want a hybrid work situation, or I don't want to do this. And if the employer is like, you're going to do it my way or the highway, they're like, great, I'm going to leave, because there's such a market for talent that they can really write their check and say what they want to do. And so in the business world, you see people leaving. I had someone else send me an article, and I'll have to find it and we'll put it in the show notes. But basically they said, oh, I saw an article about what's actually happening. And the article says something to the effect of that the Army has been through this, the military has been through this numerous times. And what happens is you go over and you have this life experience when you are deployed. And when you come back from deployment, you then are actually put through a seminar where they say, look, the world that you're coming back to is not the world that you left. You know, your dog may have died, or, you know, people are in, you know, this coffee shop you used to go to may have closed, and like, you're coming back and it's, everybody's thinking, oh, great, you're back and everything's the same, but it's not the same. And your life experience isn't the same.
You see everything through a different lens.
And you've seen the world in a very negative way. Like, it wasn't like, yay, I went to Germany for a year. It's like, I was shot at in the field. So you have a different sense of mortality and how short life can be. And so your experience of life is different. And this article basically said that everybody in the world is feeling this now at the same time, but nobody's been given the seminar to let them know that. And I think you're seeing in the business world, people being able to move from one job to another to kind of write their ticket of what they want to be paid or how they want to work. And that's being given to them by companies that can afford to do it. And companies that can't afford to do it are just going out of business left and right. You don't realize that. But in the teaching profession, what I'm observing, and I, you know, it's just what I'm observing, is that teachers are so giving and selfless, and they think of everyone except themselves. They think about their students, they think about their families, they think about their communities, and then they are the last on the list. But if you look at any teacher, any of them, they are so depleted that they are just trying to get to the last day of the school year. They are just trying. They can't even think about what they're going to do next year, if they are or not going to. They're just trying to mentally and emotionally get to the last day. And I think they're going to collectively sleep the next week after that. And then they're going to wake up sometime in June or early July and go, can I really muscle through that again? And so you had the first couple months of COVID, and we went into last year, which you said everyone said was going to be hard, and we masked and all that. But this year was much harder because you had the masking and the unmasking, but you had the constant, you know, parents arguing about it and administrations arguing about it and society and the media. And you're just hearing this non-ending whining and complaining while you're trying to just get it done for the kids. And exactly, like these exams, like, okay, seriously, we are carrying a computer in our phone in our pockets. Like, who is ever going to do, you know, whatever you're giving an exam question on, who's not going to go, hey, Siri, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Google, give me the answer. But hey, Alexa, you know, like, you can ask any of these things at any time. Greg and I do it all the time. Like, life is not a series of exams. Like, you have to understand how to get knowledge and then how to find out what you're uniquely gifted at. And then something you like to really pour your life into that's going to benefit society. Like, this is the end all thing we're trying to do. Not make sure all these other things, like, we are losing the forest for the trees, people.
Right.
Love of learning.
Right. Well, and you know, the fact is teachers have to be more than just best buddies or best friends, but you have to want to be with your students, not just because you love a subject.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we have to look at the whole person and uniqueness of it. And educators do see that. But it is exhausting to have 140 or 150 or how many ever, you know. We're fortunate that our classes aren't super huge. I know other states, they're much, but, you know, you're dealing with them all at one time.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I'll get off my soapbox now, but I think...
Well, I anticipate education will change, but we're going through some growing pains right now. And right now, I think we're in such survival mode that maybe it's hard to... And we're talking about system change here, the whole thing changing.
Right.
The teachers are awesome at doing things in their own little classroom, but that doesn't really solve the big problems.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
The system could really change to be helpful.
Yeah, which is going to take decades. Although, I don't know, other system, you think it's going to take decades to change a lot of things, and things tend to, when they're ready to change very quickly. But until that day, if we know that teachers know how to lesson plan, and they know how to teach, and they know how to grade papers, then we at Organize 365 are really trying to support, kind of like we do at the home. You know how to like love the people in your home. We don't try to teach you that. We just try to teach you how to reduce the amount of housework that you have and the amount of paper you have and find the paper you have faster. We want to do the same thing.
Anxiety that goes with it, right? You know, the sense of calmness that comes with having a system that makes sense to you.
Yes. Just like the Sunday basket is going to hold your actionable to-dos in your mail until you can get to it on Sunday. The education workbox is going to hold all of those administrative tasks that are important and not urgent, so they don't get forgotten. So you could do them, you know, on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but not every single day of the week, or be surprised when they're due and be like, oh, shoot, I forgot that this is coming too. So what are you most excited about, Michelle, with the education workbook?
I have a lot of different things I'm excited about. Number one, I am really excited about the way that you can get things off your brain, because it is a holding place, you know, and there are so many things to teaching. I guess it really hits home because I have a student teacher this semester, and, you know, people walk into our profession thinking they know what we do because they see it for 14 years or 15 or, you know, however many years. And I'm like, it's an iceberg. You see the 10%, you don't see the 90%. And it really is something that is eye-opening. So you don't know all the underneath until you get into it. And so you're ready for the lesson on Monday and Tuesday, but that monthly meeting or that monthly check-in or the weekly committee that you're on, those need places to live while you're doing your job. And what happens, I think, is people come up with all these ideas and then they either don't get written down or don't happen because they're not able to put it where it can be useful later on. And we kind of forget about some of those things. I'm also really excited that it's an education box and not a teacher box. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many people in our schools. I mean, it really is a community event. And I love the fact that it's not a principal's box. It's not, you know, a special ed. I love that we are thinking about everybody, because sometimes too, like we don't forget about the janitors because there's plenty of them, but the support staff, like when there is the one translator that is helping a hearing impaired student. It's like once in a while, they're like, I don't think I got that email. I think they forgot about, you know, like we are including everybody that is a part of it. It can be, it's an inclusive thing that it's not one size fits all, but there's so many pieces and tools in there that people can personalize it to make it work for them.
Yeah. So when you look at the business workbox, Friday workbox, we have four categories, you know, your whatever it is you uniquely do, or your leads or your marketing leads to your customers and your sales and your delivery and operations, which leads to your internal team that you work with, which leads to your administration and money. And really all the way from entry level up to the CEO of the company, that box is easily customized with those four kinds of work. Four kinds of work, I now know. Now that I've read business books, I'm like, oh, I'll be darned. I figured this out like in my direct sales business, but this is true like in all of business. There are always four kinds of work that you do. For educators, it does not matter what position you have in a school or what kind of a school you're in, a private school, a charter school, a home school, a public school, a high school, a grade school, a community college, a university. In all schools, in academia in general, there are these seven categories of administrative tasks that you have. You may not have all of them, But if you do, there is a color for that. And then within each color, you then talk to the people that are in your paraprofessional experience. You're like, okay, so for us, what is red IEP discipline important? Like, okay, so teachers need this level, administrators need this level, the district needs this level of that same category. They're all doing a little bit of a piece of that. And what we ultimately want to do, and what we've done in small businesses, what we love to do in districts as well, is not only have a place for all of those administrative tasks to go, but to create the common language of what kind of administrative tasks we're doing. If there are seven categories and all seven categories have all these things are under them, like, okay, you're asking me to do this task. Is this a team-related task? Is this a IEP medical-related task? And we can start to use those colors to ease communication as well.
I think probably what we'll find is that they're bursting through the seams and there's way too many. But, you know, I'm in a public school and we're always concerned about how we spend money wisely. So I'm not convinced that we'll all of a sudden hire more staff for all these things.
Oh, no.
I would hope occasionally when we say, you know, which thing do you want to take off the plate when you put that on? You know, maybe with these systems and the visual that comes with it, that we can all get more on the same page, because there is sometimes disconnect between our colleagues, because we,
right,
even though we're all teachers, it looks different. Like, there isn't a teacher. There's probably 50 different teacher positions. You know, the science teacher who has to order lab supplies all the time has a totally different experience than the English teacher who is grading a lot more essays, which is different than someone who's teaching kindergarten. Like, when we say teacher, we are actually talking about many teachers. I mean, they are very different experiences.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about hiring anybody. I'm just saying that when everybody goes to the all school meeting, everybody's got a blue slash pocket with them because they know that meetings go in blue folders. Right. Versus like everybody having their own way of storing meetings. And the ultimate thing is that when you do have that new teacher that's working with you as a student teacher that then becomes a new teacher in the district, you say, oh yeah, we keep all of our meetings in different blue folders. You're going to have a blue district folder, and then you're going to have a blue grade level folder, and then you're going to have a blue folder for this. You just need three. So when you go to a meeting, always make sure you grab the right blue folder. Like, how life-changing is that for a new teacher?
And again, what's great about it is you don't have to worry about that for the whole week while you're teaching. You can teach, but it's there ready for you. And if you do think of something, then it's in that flash pocket when you need it.
Yeah. What other problems do you think that the education workbox will solve for you, or the ones that you already have been working on before we've had this official one?
Well, I've been using various versions. Again, with COVID, every year it changes. Oh, these slash pockets won't work. Oh, we're in cohorts now. I'm changing that, you know. I love that slash pockets can be very mobile and I can pick which ones I need to take with me, which ones I don't. I love and always have loved the color coordination. And I don't do this to an extreme, but even when I have note cards, I have different colored note cards. And I know that the green is an econ thing. And I know the blue is a history thing, right? And I know that we're going to have more colors to play with, work with. And I think that's going to be really helpful and exciting and help us personalize what we need to.
And I think teachers in general are very color codey type people. I think it's because of the quantity of information we have. Like, think back to when you were in school, you were in 6, 7, 8 subjects, and every subject had information you had to learn, and then different due dates and different projects and different teachers and different syllabuses. Well, if you're the teacher, your entire life is 6, 7, 8 subjects times the number of students in there. I mean, that's a lot of things to keep track of. And so the color coding really helps you think, instead of all students, you think like, okay, I've got two colors. Am I doing econ or am I doing history?
It really helps speed it up. You know, when people first start doing the color coordinating, they know it's going to save them some time, but You know, you hear it across the board. Like, it is just a major impact.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Michelle, why did you decide to become an Education Workbox certified organizer? And what do you hope to offer the people who work with you?
So, I am thinking that I really love what I do, and I want to do it very well until I, you know, retire. And I don't want to be one of those people that retires and didn't bother telling anyone and still in the room. So I hope to be one of those people that maybe retires a little younger. And with that in mind, I was looking for what I would be doing with other years in my life. I knew that I was too young to quit working altogether and needed to see people and do things. And honestly, it was at Embrace that I kind of figured out that, yeah, I know what I need to do. And so I have been a certified organizer for a few years now. And I love working with people that want to learn and are ready to work with you. And I still get those light bulb moments where you can tell that something has happened and changed and what you've done matters. And I have just met so many amazing people. Like, working with clients is just joy. It's pure joy. And it is so amazing to work with the teachers because we all have those things in common, but you're not in the same building and you don't have the same complaints about one thing that's nagging you. When you're in your own building and teachers get together, there's kind of a tendency occasionally to complain because, you know, can't do it just anywhere. You got to do it in private. You know, so when people get together, sometimes, you know, you kind of focus on whatever you want to fix that, you know, maybe isn't really fixable.
Right.
But, you know, when you work in a capacity with teachers all across the nation, you know, in a couple cases in the other side of the world, you get to hear everybody's stories and the joys that we all have. And you get to hear what they're doing that's really unique and cool. And I think as educators, we tend to play down. We always think everyone else is a cooler teacher than we are.
Yes.
I'm sure there's some truth. I have no illusions that I'm a great cult of personality and everyone's knocking on the door just to have me. But I do think we forget all the great things we do. And you get to have these conversations with people. It is wonderful.
Well, it's fun to be a teacher to teachers. Because teachers love to learn. Yeah.
It is.
And share all this knowledge and experience that you have.
But I have found, you know, whether it be paper organizing retreats or Sunday basket, like, people are happy to be learning this. They've chosen it. And, you know, they're not complaining about the homework. Like, we all want to, you know? And
yes.
And I'm not worried about someone not completing something because we have our purpose, we have our project. And at the end, when it's done, we have decided, are we doing something in the future or are we done for the moment or, you know, and
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to my company growing and particularly in the future, it'll be a bit, but when I'm retired, still teaching and just teaching something different.
That's awesome. Michelle, how can our audience find you?
Probably the easiest way is to go to my web page. My company is Organized Freedom LLC. And if they type in organizedfreedomllc.com, it takes them to my webpage.
Great. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and all of your years of teaching.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and always a pleasure to be on your podcast.